Welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, producer and host of this program, and it's good to be with you. This week we are bringing you a talk from Creative Morning's monthly breakfast series, recorded via Zoom. We'll hear from three presenters speaking on the topic of Insecure. Because of the virtual nature of this presentation, you won't hear applause as the entire audience, myself included, were watching while our mics were muted. The
Please
next voice you'll hear is one of the
Devontae
hosts
Beckham
of the Fort Wayne Creative Mornings chapter,
Madden.
Kara Hackett.
Devontae and Colin
Please
have been a part of our team
show.
For a long time now, and they've both really shown the desire to lead and wanted to share their skills in a different way with this community. I've been really wanting to add another co-host to our team, and I ended up getting two, which is always better than one. Please welcome them, and today you'll get a chance to get to know them a little bit, because Devontae is going to be taking over as host right now, and Colin will be leading the Q&A afterwards. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Devontae, and he's going to take over from here.
We're here in Fort Wayne, and we're the city that saved itself. We don't wait for things to happen. We have big ideas, and one at a time, we defy expectations of what's possible here in the Midwest. In the industrial age, our city was a hub of innovation, mass producing the first television, stoves, refrigerators, and washing machines. And today, we're innovating in new ways across the city. Artists and creators of all kinds are just really making a difference and breathing soul into the narrative of this place, testing ideas and really taking their skills to the next level. We like to call ourselves scrappy and bold, small and proud, unexpectedly unconventional and unconventionally spirited. Now it's time for our main event. Audience takes the stage. First up, we have Brittany Jones, better known as Minnie Jackson. Brittany is a 33-year-old Fort Wayne native. She first walked into activism in 2013. Her heart called her to the 2020 movement with a strong voice. She has one daughter, and she's also a member of the LGBTQ community. Can we hear it for Brittany?
Hi, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, I should say. My presentation is it's not gonna be as long because the word itself is pretty self-explanatory. We all have experiences with insecurities, and I think a lot of us really don't know what insecurities mean. Insecure can mean something as small as lack of confidence and something as huge as being unsafe. And within the Black community, in which I have realized with this protest, I feel like we are very insecure. This was something new to us that we did not know was gonna come our way. With COVID going on, we were so focused on maintaining a lifestyle that we weren't used to. So to wake up one day and next thing you know, you see everybody gathered together with lack of understanding of what we're really protesting about besides police brutality, I feel like the crowd had became insecure. And I felt like that was a good example to use because it was a lack of organization and you had division amongst protesters and the higher up people. So when I speak on insecurity, I believe that right now as a generation, we have a lack of confidence. We have a lack of confidence within each other and we have a lack of confidence within self. And we must first find our self-confidence and let that self-confidence shine through to give other people encouragement to find their own self-confidence. And once they find that self-confidence, it's going to be like a big explosion coming your way because now we're walking in a safer environment where we're securing each other and ourselves amongst each other for a better way of living, a better way of life. So when we speak on terms of insecurity, one of the things that I believe that people should do is sit back and point out their own insecurities before they point out somebody else's insecurities. And again, that insecurity could come from lack of confidence or it can come from simply being unsafe in your environment or your home. If you are not secure, that opens up a wave of negative entities coming into your life because you don't know where you stand. You don't know where other people stand. And insecure also falls into the lines of love. You know, a person who is insecure might lack love as well. They might not love themselves enough. And that insecurity could have been planted in them. Rather, it could have been from school life, our family life, or so forth and so on. I'm pretty sure you guys get the picture. But as a community, I feel like we need to start showering each other with more love and stop judging. You have mental health that is becoming a very big deal right now. And I'm very happy that it's becoming a very big deal because it is something that we do, in fact, need to focus on. And if you think about mental health, insecure once again pops up. Most of the feelings that a depressed person feels are feelings of insecurity, lack of confidence, the fact that nobody sees them, nobody loves them, nobody is listening to them. And as a people, doesn't matter what race you are or where you come from, as a people, we need to start paying attention to what is going on amongst our brethren and our sisters. And that's just the reality of it. To me, America in general is living on an insecure platform. And we're insecure once again because of what we are being taught. Rather it is in the media or rather it is in the home.
Next up, we have Dr. Paul Forder. Paul is Director of Diversity and Inclusion at the University of St. Francis in Fort Wayne. He is an experienced educator, administrator, consultant, and speaker. Dr. Porter's research focuses on critical issues related to diversity in higher education, with a special emphasis on multicultural competence, unconscious bias, and intercultural communication. He has shared his perspectives on race, violence, and social justice in higher education guest lectures across Indiana and nationwide. In 2019, Dr. Porter's essay, The Profession's Norm, was published as a book in the Multicultural and Diversity Issues in Student Affairs Practice. With that, I will turn us over to Dr. Paul Porter.
I want to thank you all first for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. In many ways, Minnie has stolen my presentation. She didn't steal it. She just drew the best draw, which is to go first and lead us off. And so in many ways, I am going to offer a different perspective on the exact same thing that you just heard, which I think will be incredibly interesting. I want to share a couple of pictures just to give context to this presentation, the spirit of it, and who I am. The intro says it best, but I wanted to share a couple of people whose life, light, and love have informed my work, informed the philosophy behind my professional efforts, as well as my own humanity. To the left is a gentleman by the name of Lee Moon Wah. He is the owner and creator of Stir Fry Ministries. It is a diversity consulting and training company in Southern California. And the person to the right is St. Teresa of Calcutta. They are two completely different people, but they are very much the same in their thoughts and in their philosophies. Those thoughts and philosophies frame who I am as a diversity educator. And I live very much by a couple of quotations from them. The first one comes from St. Teresa when she says that perhaps the reason we have no peace is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. The second one comes from Lee Moon Wah when he says that we are only but one conversation from the relationship that may change the rest of our lives. Brittany's absolutely right. Our country is embedded right now in a space of insecurity. And I've decided to, in this presentation, take a look at the word insecurity, but I'm going to look at it from its absence of security, as well as the absence of confidence, which forms the basis for the thesis of this presentation. And that is, unfortunately, that as you watch the news and as you watch your news feeds and cycles, you are seeing people that are speaking out in anguish. They are hurting. They are in pain from the systemic oppression and injustice that is taking place. And you will notice that many of those people look more like Kara than like me. Here's the thing. What we are oftentimes forgetting as we post and as we retweet and as we IG and Snapchat, what we are forgetting is that it is all of our insecurities that got us here. Insecurity and injustice go hand in hand. And that's why we are unfortunately in the position that we're in. Now, I've got about 3.5 minutes of stuff, which means I'll probably be here for the rest of the afternoon because anyone that knows me knows I'm long-winded, but I'll try and make this quick. Before I was a multicultural educator, I was a speech professor and coach. So you will excuse me if I offer not only that thesis, but a preview. I want to talk for just a few minutes about what causes this insecurity and ego combination, the effects of it, and then I offer a couple of solutions. My claim is that insecurity and injustice go hand in hand. And I feel that that is caused by the fact that diversity and inclusion and justice, these things that we strive for and we dream about, the ideal perfect union of all people being equal, the presence of equity and equality, giving everyone a fair opportunity to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, while it sounds great in theory, in reality, we are all walking in the fear that it exposes our imperfections. Race, gender, sexual orientation, faith, tradition, political preference, body type, you name it, the presence of difference, and that's all diversity is, not only shows the beauty of difference, but it also shows the internal imperfections that we have. I don't have, as a man of size, what a smaller, muscular man has. I don't have what people with hair have. I may not have what people with money have. And that causes introspection that I may or may not be strong enough to deal with. And so that leads to the effects that we all have because of the insecurity that diversity and justice and the fight against injustice, the inclusion of other people, exposes. We don't communicate. We will marginalize others as a measure of protection. We exclude. We invalidate the presence of others. We invalidate the lived experiences of others. We forget. We care only when it benefits, and we kill that which scares us, up to and including ourselves and others. Rapper Nas said it best in his single hit, Hate Me Now. He said that people fear what they don't understand, and they hate what they can't conquer. And the problem that we are walking into is that injustice is winning. Police brutality, systemic racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia, I'm out of phobias, inequities in hiring, inequities in pay, inequities in banking, inequities in hiring. All of these things exist. The violence that we have seen on television for months, for decades, exists because we want to fight a battle against injustice, but we want an army of one. Because we're afraid to lose rank when others come to the table. And so we make these tiny little spaces and we push everybody away. There is a solution. And that solution is necessary if we are going to live the dream that we talk about regularly, and that's to grow a set of lungs. Breathe in the presence of others. Take some time to cleanse your spirit with collaboration and communication instead of competition. People aren't threats. They're opportunities. I call each and every one of you to join me. We want to make America great again. Let's make love great again. Let's make listening great again. Humanity and humility, let's make those great. Let's make every morning a creative morning, because the labor of the people that put together this show is here because there are too many people that want to push others away. I am begging you to pull me in. I will fight with you. I will fight for you. And I will spend the rest of this time listening to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Paul. So much. Next up, we have Monique Moss. Monique is a program director and morning show host of Mo in the Morning of Fort Wayne's Rhythm and Praise radio station. Monique's mission is to connect and build relationships with listeners that create encouragement and hope. Monique was a recipient of the Business Weekly 40 Under 40 Award for the class of 2020. Monique has been featured in 30 Cool Creatives Under 30 in Fort Wayne's magazine, and Monique holds a Bachelor's of Science with a concentration in electronic media from the University of Indianapolis. Let's all welcome Monique Moss.
Yo, 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 yo.
What's up, y'all?
So I will talk about insecurity today, but I wanted to kind of talk about it, how it surrounds my life and kind of my growing up and what's going on in our nation and city. So like Devontae said, my name is Monique, but that's, y'all, I don't even know what that is when people call me that. I go by Mo, and I grew up south of Indianapolis, small majority white town by the name of Franklin, and moved to Fort Wayne about 2.5 years ago for a job in radio. Like he said, I graduated from the University of Indianapolis in radio, never thought I would get into radio. I grew up playing basketball. I thought I was gonna be overseas somewhere, balling it up, but I wound up in communications and radio. Growing up, my mom is white, like white, like blonde hair, blue eyes. My dad is black, like so black he's blue. And so that was already naturally insecurity and a identity crisis in itself, which I didn't realize till much years later that I'm dealing with now in counseling. All the schools I went to were white, majority, like 99.9%, but my culture at home was black. So my mom's family had no living relatives, so I have all my dad's family. He has 7 siblings, so all my culture at home has been black. And that brings an interesting perspective of growing up and the people I've been around. So it's crazy to think that my ancestors on my white side were slave owners of the ancestors on my black side. It's a crazy comparison. So insecurity has always kind of ran a theme in my life, definitely within the white people that I was always naturally around. They shaped a lot of the things inside me that I didn't even realize I was insecure about. And I think naturally when we talk about insecurity, I'll talk to my, of course, black brothers and sisters and white brothers and sisters today, but I think insecurity naturally for a lot of my white friends, white brothers and sisters, it's the idea sometimes of minorities gaining power that makes some white people feel like they lose power. And I kind of want to focus in on that today. And this is a safe space, open conversation, but the things that have transpired in my life and happened in my life, I naturally have a view to come alongside my white friends, come alongside my white allies, and I love next steps. So I'm the last speaker. So I want to kind of go over some next steps that have helped me in my life with my white friends and help some of my white friends as I've gotten so many phone calls and conversations around what's going on. Like a lot of my white friends are saying, like, what can we do? Like, how can we help? I want to check in on my friends. I want to be a part of this, but I don't exactly know what to do. So today I want to just give some next steps. You can take them or leave them, but this has really helped me and some of my friends. So when I say this, this is for really everybody. So, and this is, I think a lot stems from insecurity, like our other speakers have said. I think I'll tell you 3 steps today. One of the first ones that I know have been really impactful in my life has been acknowledgement. So when we see what's going on in the news, when we see what's going on in our city right here in Fort Wayne, we see the protests and maybe don't understand them. We see some of the rioting and don't necessarily fully understand. I think that acknowledging that racism just in general is wrong, but I think we have to be knowledgeable on what different things are. So you tell a white person they're a racist, and that's like the worst thing you could say, right? Nobody wants to be called a racist, right? But I think there's so much more than that. There's prejudice, there's discrimination, and there's racism. So I kind of want to break those things down today. Prejudice is to have a prejudged mental mindset about a person because of the group they represent. So most of us have this, black, white, yellow, purple, whoever you are. Most of us have this. This is stereotyping. This is, if I see a black dude driving a car, I'm like, dang, how'd he get that nice car? I see a white person cooking food, I'm like, man, she can't season nothing. So that's like the stereotyping, that's prejudice. Discrimination would be prejudiced in action. So it would be excluding people because of the group they represent. That could be telling a joke at someone's expense. That could be an extreme version of violence. And then racism, because I feel like so many times we're talking about this stuff and we're like, there's so much stuff on Facebook, on Instagram, and when we're getting all of this stuff, I feel like we just say racism so much, and it's not necessarily all about that specific term. Racism is a racial group's collective prejudice that's backed by law. So it's when the institution controls and favors it. It's when there's a system that's set up around people. And that's when you hear the terms of white privilege, that a system is naturally set up around someone so they can go about their life not really having to look at the other person's side. So I want to kind of break those down. I think acknowledgement, first of all, is a really pivotal thing that we can do, is just acknowledge and look inside ourselves. And I've had to do that and kind of self-reflect and say, hey, have I said some of those things to my friends? Hey, have I done some of those things? Maybe I'm not a racist. Maybe I've had some prejudice. Maybe I've discriminated against certain people. And I've done that myself. Y'all, you know, black people, white people, Asian people, like we do it. And I think it's vital for us all to look at ourselves, not just white people, but black people, all of us. So I think that's a good first step, is just acknowledging and looking inside yourself and knowing the different terms, that it's not just racism. I think a good second step is, if I want to be a white ally, if I want to kind of make change on what's going on in our culture, I think a good second step is to look in my circle. And I've done that lately, is to look in my circle and, does everybody look like me? Does everybody sound like me? Does everybody act like me? Does everybody vote like me? Does everybody have my same sexual preference? Like, look in your circle and see what the people around you look like. Because I can't look at a George Floyd. I can't look at certain situations that have happened in our nation, and I can't really see them for them if I have no relationship with anybody that looks like them or acts like them or sounds like them. So I think that's a good thing, is to look in our circle. And then I think a good third step is, we have to be willing to fail forward. So in any part of your life, whatever you're talking about, if you're talking about current events, if you're talking about things just in general, we have to be willing to have the conversation, kind of like Dr. Paul said, that conversations surrounding lots of things, but we have to be willing to fail as we have them. Like, what do we call black people? I don't know if we call them black people, African-American people, but like, ask your friends, let's have conversation about it. Let's talk about it. Let's fail while we do it. But I think the biggest thing is that we're doing it. So we're having conversation, and we're not going to be silent, because I don't want my silence to be consent for anybody. So if I'm going to have a conversation, I'm going to fail while I'm doing it, and I'm just going to use my voice. So I think those are three good steps: acknowledgement, looking at my circle, and failing forward. And I think how that plays into insecurity is, those have been good things that have helped me, myself, and my white friends, my white brothers and sisters, allies, as I've walked through some of the things I have in my life, being a part of a white society on all outside looks in my life, but inside my home, having a black culture, I think insecurity just played a big role, and it's helped me walk alongside my white brothers and sisters, and my white brothers and sisters walk alongside me.
With that, we've been getting a lot of questions in the comment box throughout this time, so I'm going to turn it over to Colin here, and he's going to lead our Q&A.
Hello. So this first question is for Brittany. Our Americans are often viewed as bold and brazen. Do you think that is just a cover-up for insecurity?
Yes, I do. And I feel like that question was actually answered with Paul and Monique. They really hit they followed me up greatly. I appreciate that, guys. And I love the fact that we were all on the same page. But yes, I feel like the whole America is the greatest, most powerful nation on earth is all a cover up for our personal insecurities. Cat Williams said it best. I love America. We some bullies. And that is very true. We are some bullies. We will, if we want it, we gonna go get it. And that is one of the things that I do love about my country, is the fact that we are that bold and we are not afraid. But again, what is that worth if your people are unhappy? What is that worth when you have a growing war within your own country? You know, now we're not just bullying other people, now we're bullying each other. And that comes with that insecurity. So yes, do I feel like it is a cover up? Yes, I do. If we even pay attention to our president, I know for a fact that he definitely makes me feel insecure as a person. He makes me feel very small. Larry Brown, with his uneducated protester statement, that actually really hurt my feelings in a lot of ways, because we're not uneducated. We are far from uneducated. It's just the fact that nobody wants to take the time to listen. Just because you have a college education and just because you have book knowledge or book smarts does not make you an intelligent person. It actually makes you ignorant because you want to ignore everybody else because you think you're worth more than what they are. You walk around looking down on us and as if we are not the ones who either gave you the position of power or keep you in the position of power. So the disrespect that America shows its own citizens is starting to get completely out of hand. We look at each other and it brings, it makes you feel like you're opening up, and the moment that you open up and you let somebody in and then they take all of you and they step on it and they smush it, that's insecurity. I also come from a multiracial home. My grandmother and grandfather are Karis color. I'm actually one of the darkest ones in my family. Guess what? That created insecurity. So that falls in the line of that bold and brass. Yes, we are definitely using it as a cover-up because we don't want to face our own problems here in America.
Dr. Paul, when you say that people may not be strong enough to look at their own insecurities, how do you explain those who seemingly have quote-unquote everything, all the power, all the status, etc.? Are their insecurities just hidden, even if it's not in direct relation to someone else getting justice?
I want to know who read my mind and wrote that question.
Well, this is Kirsten actually said it. So that if you, wherever Kirsten is, she was there. You go, yeah.
Kirsten, you mind reader, you. I've been thinking about, ironically enough, there is a picture over my left shoulder, and it is from a week that I spent in El Salvador in 2014. And just for context, El Salvador is one of the poorest nations in the world. It is one of the most violent nations in the world. And I went down for a project, a service trip through campus ministry at a university I worked at in Northeast Pennsylvania. This is an impoverished country. It's third world. The drinking water is deadly. There's very little food. It's disease rampant, corrupt government. We would not enjoy it there. And so I'm at this orphanage. So on top of all the things I just mentioned, I am with little kids, young children, who have been abandoned, who have been left, who have lost parents. And I am playing with these kids, and we are having a ball. I speak very little Spanish, by the way, so I didn't really understand the beauty of this statement until about a year or so later after I got back. So I am playing with these kids, and they love me. They're like, El Gordo, Gordo. And I'm like, my name's not Gordon. My name is Paul. If you speak Spanish, you know why. I feel kind of silly about that now. I remember leaving. And the hugs from these kids, the I love yous from these children, the smiles on their faces, and then to compound that with going to a Spanish mass in a church that was, in a chapel that was broken down, bad smells, it's 105 degrees, the air conditioning is terrible. These people have nothing compared to us. They didn't know. They didn't know they were poor. They didn't know that they had nothing. They were some of the happiest people I've ever seen. Some of the happiest people. Hugs, handshakes, smiles, offering food that they probably couldn't afford to offer. There are people in this country that have wealth, that have things, that have stuff, that have status, power. And if you look into their eyes, you see what's missing. And that is a deep sense of purpose at times, of fulfillment, and of happiness. And so as I sat with 14 undergraduate students that night and debriefed that day at the orphanage and that day at Mass, and they were talking about how their hearts were broken for these people that didn't have anything, I looked at them all and I said, my hearts are broken for us. We're the empty ones. They have it all. It really is that age-old adage that money can't buy you happiness, money can't buy you love. It was a perfect shining example in that moment.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you again, Dr. Paul. That was very impactful. And we are out of time, sadly. I know we can talk about, we can talk all day, and we would love to keep this conversation going. On that note, from everybody at the Creative Mornings crew, thank you guys so much for, you know, being a part of this, and hopefully we'll be in person soon.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining. Thanks, speakers.
This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. Special thanks to Kara Hackett, Devante Beckham, and Colin Madden, and the rest of the Creative Mornings team for making this show possible. Additional content from WBOI Presents and our community partners can be found at WBOI.org. Our music is by Mark Waldick, Noah Campodonico, and Kurt Remke. Our web producer is Loyal Vandenberg. Our production assistants are Monica Blankenship and Michaela Veltum. Until next time, thank you for listening. From WBOI, Fort Wayne.